Welcome to the seminar on Intentional Partnership for Church Planting. I'm Henry Bosberg, and I'm the director for Midwest Church Extension. And to my right, your left, is Brian Miller. He is the pastor at Berea Bible Church in Springfield, Ohio. And over on the other end is Reed Wagner, who is on staff with Midwest Church Extension as the East Regional Field Director, but also on staff at Berea Bible Church as Associate Pastor. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And we're going to explain why he's a hybrid in this fashion and what we're talking about with regard to our topic, that you'll see the relevance of that. So let's open in prayer and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you for these that have come to be with us today to see the vision of what we have in mind with regard to Berea's mission to reach Springfield, Ohio, and for the blessing that will come later this year with Redeemer Bible Church. I ask, Father, that you give us a great time of discussion, sharing this opportunity, and that we might be able to share at least one model of partnering together to see the church be advanced, not only here in the States, perhaps elsewhere around the world, Lord. And we just ask for your blessing on our time together, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The seminar was introduced to you by this description. What do you get when you mix a local church, a mission organization, and a long dormant IFCA regional area, being the state of Ohio? And what you get is a new church. Because on October 1st of this year, a new church named Redeemer Bible Church will open its doors to serve the southeast sections of Springfield, Ohio. And this ministry is a result of a collaborative effort of IFCA organizational members, Midwest Church Extension, Church Extension Agency, and Berea Bible Church, a local ministry that's a member of IFCA. And so we've invited you to come to learn how the vision for this ministry began, and it's now coming to fruition. So, as I said, I want to introduce our speaker, Brian Miller, to my right, and Reed as well on the other end. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of walk you through the genesis of this project and how it's come to the place where we are ready to make that launch in just a few short months from now. Midwest Church Extension, we've been in operation under that moniker since 2004, but in 2004, we were the product of a merge of three state-based agencies that were all born in the 1950s. So we've kind of come along that way, and it was a consolidation to bring those together. And part of our scope, as you can kind of see or project from the map behind us, is it includes the state of Ohio. However, if you're familiar with IFCA presence in Ohio, it used to be one of the key strongholds in the United States for a regional base. There was a very strong IFCA representation in Ohio up until about the early to mid-60s. And after that, there was a huge dramatic situation that happened where there was just a mass exodus out of the IFCA from the state of Ohio itself. And pretty much since that time, since the 60s, there's been just a completely dormant area as far as an operational fellowship of IFCA people on the ground in Ohio. You know, when we think about that, and we think about the opportunities or the space that MCE serves, it's kind of something that's a tragedy. You're looking at the state numbers here for the total population in each of these states, and if you look at 12.6 in the state of Illinois, that's the sixth largest state population in the United States. But Ohio is right behind at number 7. So this is actually a huge mission field. And when MCE looks at that map, we're just thinking, you know, where are all the IFCA witnesses? Where is every local church? Where is the establishment that represents our identity, our brand, if you will, for who we are, the doctrine that we represent, the values that we advocate? All the things that are part of who we are, where are those people and where are those churches on that map? Well, we can identify those by opening the directory, and we'll be doing a little bit of that for you even here in a moment. But when you're looking at 11.6 million people in the state of Ohio, that's a huge mission field. We send people to countries with less population than that. So we need to be thinking about how it is strategically can we do that. So as MCE, is in my role as a director, I look at the state and I say, well, where are those presences? And I start to identify them. And we have here the state of Ohio. And then if you look at the map of IFCA presence, up till this convention, we are learning about more people now, even here at the convention, that are allowing us to be able to hopefully start to see a few more red stars on this map. But as it was leading into the convention, we're sparsely populated as far as an IFCA formal presence. Representing different men in some of these locations, sometimes a man and a church, sometimes a couple of men and a couple of churches, but still, there's a lot of wide open space, if you will, in terms of geography coverage, geographical coverage in the state of Ohio. And even one of our brothers, Craig Soplesack, is in Lawrenceburg. That's technically in Indiana, although he would identify more with Ohio than he would be able to in that other way. So there's a lot of turf, especially when you look at some of the major metro areas, Akron, Cleveland, other places as well around the state. There's just a lot of open territory that does not have a formal IFCA presence. That doesn't mean that there's not gospel witness. We're not quantifying that at this time for this discussion, but it still shows you there's a lot of opportunity for us to be bringing what we believe to those places. Over the years, it's been basically a dormant regional. There was one season in the 90s when Pastor Tony Rappa, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and Jim Jameson, who was also on the other side of Cleveland, Tony on one side, Jim on the other, they were making a very noble effort at gathering different IFCA men and even just Bible church men from around the state to come together. And they had something sustainable for about 5 to 7 years where that fellowship was going forward. But as life happens, Jim took a call to a different church. It was participating in another fellowship, felt ethically that he needed to kind of swing loyalties to that. So Jim kind of fell off the radar, and then Tony, with age and retirement and so forth, those kinds of things caught up with them as well, and so that wasn't able to be sustained. And since that time, there's not been any kind of formal activity in the Ohio regional. So those are kind of the specifics of the here and now, and yet I'm looking at that state. I'm looking at where can we be planting churches. How can we bring back an IFCA witness in a strong, strategic manner to the state? And what we wanted to do is we wanted to realize that how can we meet this need? And the need is this. How do we get a firm foothold with which to establish a planted IFCA presence that will have the vision of more planting opportunities in the future? Okay, we get that first foothold established, maybe that's the beginning or the foundation from which we can spring forth and do more work. And so that's been MCE's goal all along. There have been various attempts historically since the 90s under MCE's ministry. Past attempts would include a revitalization and two new starts. The revitalization took place early in the 90s at a little bitty town in the northwest corner of the state called Pioneer. Harvest Baptist Church was there. We came alongside that ministry, tried to help them to recover. It limped along for a while, and then as circumstances came about, there was a situation where the finances that they were gaining enough in finances that they weren't eligible for any further assistance from our agency, and so they then agreed to go ahead and be released, and that today that church is non-existent. It's no longer there at all. In the 2000s, we did establish a new church in Westerville, which is on the north side of Columbus. And Faith Bible Church carried on for about 10 to 12 years, but it eventually merged with another ministry in the area, and so that ministry has continued on, but then, again, no IFCA planted or entrenched in the area. And then in 2010 to about 14, we had another project in Defiance, Ohio, which had a very good, strong start, but because of some circumstances that happened to that ministry, so one of them providential, one of them unfortunate, that church was not able to stay open. And so, as you can tell, there have been these efforts at trying to stimulate an activity, but
what that leaves you, and I openly confess, what that leaves you looking at me, a very frustrated director. How do I get to Ohio and get something to stay there, be entrenched, established, that will then give us a springboard for going forward? But that means now, obviously, that's the setup to a new opportunity at this time that's presented itself. And this opportunity is projecting such significant promise in the ability for us to meet that need, to get that firm foothold so we can have an established church. So that allows me now to shift the story over to Berea Bible Church, and I'm going to let Brian take it from here.
Well, I'm Brian Miller. I've been at Berea Bible Church for 7 years. When we came there, Berea Bible Church was a small church that had started in the 1970s as a church plant itself. We came from Chicago, where we are involved in a church there for 21 years. Prior to that, we had started a church in Western New York and had been involved in church plant there and had established a church, had built the church, had built a building, had done a number of different things in the Western New York area, so that we had a little experience with the church plant and the experience of starting a church. When we came to Berea 7 years ago, one of the things that we wrote out was a mission statement as well as a vision statement. And as we wrote those things out, one of the statements that we made in our mission statement was to become a church of 350, to reach the churched and the unchurched of the Springfield area as well as around the world. And part of the philosophy of ministry in that was when we reached that point, we would then begin a new church. Start a daughter church or start a sister church so that the ministry could continue and grow. Part of my philosophy of ministry is I don't want to be a mega church. I don't want to be a church of 1,000. I think that we can more effectively, as believers, reach more people in a smaller group of churches or with a group of people that desire to grow in their gifts and talents by using them in different ways. So the church plant has always been a part of the process or the thought process from the very beginning of my ministry. We continue to grow, and in the 7 years we've seen the growth go from 50 to almost 200. And yet last year in the providence of God, as Henry states, the city of Springfield revealed that they had brought into the city several hundred acres of land, and that they had agreed to develop that land into 1,500 to 2,000 new housing situations. And so two different plots of ground in the city of Springfield that was going to begin to develop their housing. It was at that point that we came to Henry and asked the question about how could we, well, actually, Reed had come on to staff prior to that, looking to be the East Regional Director, but also to, in a year, 2 years, to plant a church or to do work in ministry in a church planting situation. When the city of Springfield opened up these doors, we felt that this was the time for Reed to take this step and for us to take this step to begin to develop the vision that had been there previously. So we went back to Henry. Together we talked. We went to our elder board and deacons boards and spoke with the church. And through the process, we have now come to this step. Berea. All right. Berea looks like this. So if you look at this, we are on a 16-acre plot of land. We have developed the parking lot and redeveloped the parking lot. We have a tomb, a resurrection garden that looks like this. It's one of the few places in probably a 4 or 5 state area that has anything like this. Our vision is to reach the community as best that we can, and one of the ways that we're doing that is through the resurrection garden, but now we also believe that God is opening up the doors to reach it in another way, and that is through this church plant. So part of the vision, part of the larger scope of what we desire to do as a church body here at Springfield, Ohio. With that, I'll turn it over to Rick.
Well, you're seeing the picture here of the convergence between the vision that MCE has to reach Ohio as a state and the vision for Berea to reach the city of Springfield. And so with the coming together of those two and saying the best way that we see to reach Springfield is through the planting of new churches, the way was paved for this relationship to be formed. Now, I was already involved with Midwest Church Extension. I was serving for about 6 years at Sycamore Bible Church in Trafalgar, Indiana. It's about 20 miles straight south of Indianapolis. And this church was started by Urban Stutzman, who many of you know. He served there for the first 10 years of its existence. And then after Urban left, there was several other pastors who came for a brief tenure. And I was in that progression, started there in 2016. So I served at Sycamore Bible Church. So it was a church plant still with Midwest Church Extension. But I like to tell people it had all the advantages of being a church plant and all the disadvantages of being a church plant. It had all the advantages of being an established church and all the disadvantages of that as well. So I served there for 6 years, and during that time we had a young man named Lance Lewis who joined us as a resident with Midwest Church Extension. So he was training to go out and do church planting. That was why he was with us. So as part of that residency program, he was training under me at Sycamore Bible Church. So we were giving him opportunities to preach, giving him opportunities to have hands-on ministry experience. And during that time, there was a couple of things that happened in my life that kind of shifted our thinking a little bit. Number one, many of you know Ken Chipchase was starting Pillar Fellowship just down, kind of across the river from Louisville in Indiana. And I remember thinking at that time, what an exciting opportunity, and thinking to myself, I'd love to do something like that. Meanwhile, with Lance training with us, the thought was we were going to send him out to become a church planter. In fact, he was already working on some survey material, just getting a feel of what it would be like to identify a location to plant a church and what that might involve. And with my own heart kind of feeling more and more like I'd like to be involved in more new start type work, something really incredible and unexpected happened. We approached Lance, told him about some of the things that we were thinking, and asked if he would be interested in staying at Sycamore Bible Church. He had already been there for about a year, getting to know the people, training, getting experience amongst the congregation there. And what ended up happening, and this is the way I describe it, at the end of the day, there was somebody sent out to plant churches and somebody stayed at Sycamore, but it wasn't the people we thought they were going to be. And so Lance is still at Sycamore Bible Church. He's doing a terrific job serving the Lord there. We then moved in the beginning of 2022 to Springfield, Ohio. And again, it was this was the nature of the relationship. I would be serving with Midwest Church Extension as East Region Field Director. That means I would be overseeing MCE ministry in Ohio, essentially, which, as we already mentioned, currently there is no MCE ministry in Ohio. There's no new churches currently being started. So part of me going there was to help jumpstart that and make that a reality. So I began serving with MCE and then also came on staff at Berea Bible Church as associate pastor. From that point, so now our support is essentially covered through financial supporters that we have as individuals, plus through MCE and through Berea Bible Church. We're able to be full-time in that role. And the intention, of course, was always to start a new church. Now, at that point, we had not clearly defined where that would be. We were looking at various areas, kind of in the surrounding Springfield area, but we were looking even at some different towns close by. And that's when the opportunity that Pastor Miller mentioned about the expansion in Springfield. So there's our family. Our three kids are not with us this week, so they're back in Ohio with a grandparent. So, and my wife Ashley is here with us right now. So here's a picture of where we're looking at. So Berea Bible Church is up on the north side of town, an area called Northridge. It's been in that location well, since it started kind of up the road from where we are currently.
1970.
Yeah. And so it's had an effective witness. These two circles that you see here is about a mile and a half radius, give or take. And the locations are really about 7 miles. So the lower circle, and we don't have a specific location to meet identified yet. We're working on a couple of leads. But that circle is about a mile and a half area where we would like to be. There's the main road that runs through town, 40, that goes out, National Road. As it moves out of the east side of the town is where a lot of that expansion is happening. And that's where we would like to be. Because here's the reality that we find a lot of times in IFC, in church planting. It's sometimes we're behind the eight ball when it comes to planning and planting. So we're trying to catch up. This is an opportunity for us to kind of be ahead of that as we see the expansion coming. Because, as we mentioned, there's thousands of homes to be built. In fact, here's the article that came out in the paper in 2022. Three major areas, including 1,700 new homes that will be built in that area. Now, some of those have already been built. In fact, let me skip this slide. I'll come back to that. Do I have the pictures on here? I think maybe not. You can stop by our table. I have pictures out there to show you some of the new neighborhoods that have been built. There's already about 500 or 600 new homes already built, families moving into them. That means there's another 1,000, give or take, to be built in the next several years. They're already clearing land. They're already laying all the infrastructure, streets and sewer lines and all that kind of stuff to start building. But we have the opportunity at Redeemer Bible Church to be kind of on the ground level of that. So as these new homes, new families move into the area, we can be there to say, hey, there's a church that preaches the gospel, that extends the kind of ministry we've been talking about all this week as IFCA. Again, there are other churches. Now, the east side of Springfield, there really aren't too many churches. There's a Pentecostal church that sits up on the hill. There's a Seventh-day Adventist church over there. There's also a mosque over there. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of churches in that immediate area. So we have an opportunity to have the kind of ministry we've been talking about this week. Expository, you know, clinging and holding fast to the fundamentals of the faith, that kind of ministry for people to reach those new areas. And just to give you an idea, the picture of the spiritual situation in Springfield, there are a number of churches. But you'll notice, even on some of this data, it's a little bit dated, but I expect the trends continue much like this. As of 2010, 68% of Clark County, which would be our county, identifies as none in terms of religious commitment. They have no meaningful relationship with any church body at all. Of course, then there are mainline Protestants and then Catholics and various others. So when you get down to it, there's only about 16%, give or take, that identifies as evangelical Protestant. And that's a pretty wide banner, right? I mean, we think about evangelical Protestant. That would include the Pentecostal churches and a number of others. So the need is great. I mean, we're talking 2/3 of our city would say, no, I don't go to church. I don't care about any of that. So again, just to give you the spiritual context, we have 109 churches that are evangelical in Clark County. And there's 17,000 people in the county that identify as evangelicals. So in kind of working through some of the survey work, if we were to reach everyone in our county, we would need about 600 new churches in Clark County. That need is just tremendous. And obviously we can't plant 600 new churches in our county. I don't know if we'd even want to if we could, but we can plant one church, and that's what we're doing. Berea Bible Church is currently reaching about 0.3% of the population of Springfield. And I don't mean to say that as, you know, Berea is doing a poor job. It's just, when you see the immense need, I mean, how much of the population do we want to be reaching? 100%, right? Well, we want to continue the ministry of Berea by planting. And that's the whole idea with Redeemer. Again, there's one of the pictures that gives you an idea of the neighborhoods that are being built. These three communities, Bridgewater, which is already underway, and then 1,200 new homes that are being built. Our website is RedeemerBibleOhio.org. So you can check us out on there, find out more information. It's still kind of a work in progress. We're it's 99% functional. So if you find something on there that doesn't work, you can reach out to me. But again, I just want to emphasize that as Redeemer Bible Church, it is the ministry of IFCA. As a fellowship, we want to be about proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and not just reducing to the lowest common denominator. We want to have a church that has robust and biblical in its doctrine. We're not ashamed of that. We're not trying to appeal to the broadest sector. We want to teach the truth with clarity. And at Redeemer Bible Church, it's our heart is really in Colossians chapter 1, where the Bible says, "Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man." And that's our goal, is to be a church where the Redeemer is proclaimed. And so I think part of our purpose in this workshop is to give you a fuller picture of what's happening. We were able to share last night in the general session about Redeemer Bible Church, but to give you a deeper picture of what's happening, but also to be an encouragement that what's happened in Springfield is not something that has to stay in Springfield. This is something that churches all across our country and across our fellowship can do. Obviously in the Midwest, there's Midwest Church Extension, but you have other extension agencies in other parts of the country as well. It just takes a little bit of creativity for organizations and churches to partner up and say, let's start more churches. Let's extend the ministry of IFCA. And that's what we'd love to see, because I think all of our extension agencies would love to see churches coming to them saying, "Hey, we know an area, and we'd like to see a new church established there. Can you come help us?" I dare say all of our directors would probably be thrilled if there was churches saying, "Hey, we want to jump in this. We want to help. We want to see churches started. Can you help guide us through that?" And that's part of our purpose here, is just to be an encouragement to you guys and to our fellowship to say, here's a time that's happened. Churches and organizations working together to start new churches for God's glory. And that's what we want to share. I know we'll leave time for questions here. I don't know how much time I've taken up. I don't have a clock in front of me. So we have plenty of time for questions, I believe. So if you have anything you'd like to know, one of the three of us should be able to come up, make up an answer, at least.
Well, before we do that, I just want to build a little bit more on that, what Reed was closing here with, is the fact that really what this theme about this particular seminar is to give a living, breathing demonstration of what collaboration it can look like. And it's going to look differently from place to place, situation to situation. Tomorrow morning, we have an opportunity to talk about that, what's going to be looking like to open up a brand new territory here in Kentucky, and how two different agencies are going to collaborate together to see a ministry getting established. The idea of collaboration is absolutely huge. When you think about the IFCA, there are so many moving parts. There are all of our international organizations. There's the administration of the fellowship. There's the women's ministries. There's the chaplains. There's church extension and church planting ministries. And you pick your gear. There's a lot of gears that are moving in that piece of machinery called IFCA. And yet, if the gears and the teeth of those gears are working in sync with one another, that's what makes the machinery move to advance our identity, rather than each of those gears kind of like leveraging turf and saying, "Well, we do this way," and it's hard to cross pollinate into something else. You've got the animal of an agency, Midwest Church Extension, and the animal of a local church. Well, they could easily get at cross purposes. And what you say is, no, what binds us together is the advancement of our identity, the advancement of IFCA, our cause, the movement that we've been talking about this week. That's what drives us. So what can the two entities bring to the table to see something take place. And in fact, what happens is that we have a need to get into the state of Ohio to establish a foothold to do more planting. Berea has a need to better reach his city for Christ. And at the point of that, God arranged for the Wagners to be ready to make a move to fit that need, to fit in between those things. And then through collaboration between our purpose as an agency, Pastor Brian's purpose as leader at Berea, we were able to navigate how to make that happen so that we could set up that point man in Reed and his family to go forth and be sent to establish that church. I've watched over the years where different animals, agencies or churches or whatever it may be, they draw their lines. Well, that's not what we do. Or they'll say, well, where's the turf? Well, we can't really do it if we're not in the front seat, if we're not the one driving the car. Those kinds of things, the territoriality, gets in the way of being able to see us advance for the gospel. And this is where we're saying, no, that's not going to happen. Do we care about Ohio? We care about Ohio. We want to do something to get something started in Ohio. Do we care about Springfield? Yes, we care about Springfield. We care about lost folks that are there that need the Redeemer, that Redeemer Bible Church is going to proclaim out of a daily basis in that city. And we let those things drive how we then can say, well, here's what I can bring to the table for this. Well, here's what we're going to bring to the table for this. And next thing you know, we now have a vision that's going to start seeing come to fruition just in a few short months from now. So that's the passion that I want to convey to this group today, and to show that this is just one way among hundreds of potential ways that could be manifested throughout our fellowship. And if we were able to just be one example of what could be done, just thinking, as you said, thinking creatively how that would take place to see God use us all in advancing. And that's what we wanted to display in this story that we're telling you today. So that's all I had. I wanted to wrap that up, and I wanted to be sure that we gave you time for questions. Other than that, I've never heard of a preacher get criticized for letting you out early. But obviously, we wanted to give you opportunity to ask us questions, and there are a lot of logistics that we could have bored you with, but we certainly would be willing to answer that, because there are logistics, especially between Brian and me, as leaders of two entities. How did we talk about arranging for salary and those kinds of questions, and who's really in charge of this project, and where does it go? Those are questions that we can certainly answer if they are interesting. Yeah. Yes?
Pastor said that he's not in favor of a method church. Not necessarily method church. So my question is that, what is the size of your church right now? And then another is that, in that much limit or that much size when the church will come, we need to do another sister or, you know, a brother church, small church planting again somewhere. If that happens, how much and how extended your church involved practically to church, to make a church planting in another place, or you selected somebody and set up individual and support and make them church planting. What is your church involvement in raising sister churches?
Mm-hmm. We're currently averaging about 150 in the morning service. That's been the average for the past 6 months. We were up to about 200 when Reed first came, and Mark here is one of our elders as well, so as we look at this, our mission statement states that we would like to be a church of 350, so that we could then break off and start other churches and begin the work of another ministry at that point. So we would like to grow and reestablish and get to a bigger number before we did it again. Reed and I have talked about the two of us, once Reed's church gets established, to where both of our churches work together to start a new church, so that there would be a cluster of churches that would be developed. All of these things are in the talking stage. We would like to see that happen, but that is the vision. say where would that be or what would our role be. I think that will depend upon what the Spirit leads us to do at that particular time. But we're open to having another person such as Reed come in, establish themselves as an associate, and then in that process of time as we develop and as we target a new area to develop that next step. Wright Patterson is right close to us. There's supposed to be additional growth taking place in the Dayton area to the, that'd be to the west of Berea. So there is the possibility of going that way. That was one of the areas that we had looked at with Reed. So we still have that area as a target area if we desire to do the next step. There's also a lot of growth in the Columbus area with a number of factories, a microchip plant going in, a battery plant going in, a number of anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 new jobs being created there. So there's a number of smaller communities between us and Columbus that could potentially be areas that could be targeted. So all of those things we have looked at and we continue to look at. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, I think what's really exciting about that is you go back to our map of the state of Ohio, that's just one kind of a local platform, and you can already see the multiplication concept being exhibited or explained, and that's just from one small portion of the state. Imagine what it could be done if we were able to create two or three additional platforms scattered around the state. Now that's when MCE starts getting very excited about how can we provide that kind of coverage to be able to bring our brand of ministry around the state of Ohio. That would be one of Reed's longer range ministry goals, would be to not only have the opportunity to train somebody like he did at Trafalgar with Brother Lance, but then to do that again in the new ministry, to see Berea accomplish the same thing. Now we're talking two churches that could be producing two church planting men to be sent out, with MCE being able to be able to come alongside in both of those scenarios. And then whatever the circumstances are, as Brian said, sometimes we just have to wait to see what the path will be that needs to get navigated and who will bring what to the table at that specific time. But that's why the collaboration aspect, if we have that relational collaboration, we're going to do something, whatever it is. And even if we don't know what that is today, 5 years from now, it's going to be crystal clear. But the relationship's already been established for collaboration to be done so that we can then advance when that time comes.
Paul.
Yeah. Do you have, I'm going to use a term now, do you have a core group that's being prepared to be part of the new church plant? Or are you going to launch just simply from promotional outreach activity?
Yeah, there is a core group that's currently forming. In fact, we have a few already in it, and then we had our first meeting to judge and gauge interest already, and then when we get back from convention, it's going to really start in earnest with a core group. So we will have a core of families to help be the initial seed of starting the church, but also, you know, as with any church, our objective is to reach the lost, so we want to make that a big
success. Is that
emphasis.
Core group a high group from Berea? Or a Bible study group that's been started interested in church planting?
So the of the families we have interested in the core group right now, it's about half and half almost with those who are outside and those who are coming from Berea.
Thank you.
And I'll say this, you know, Mark being here with an elder role, one of the things that we struggled with as elders and as leaders was how much do we restrict our growth. We had talked about possibly building a new church building. We had talked about expansions in a number of different ways for us ourselves. And some of those things we've had to kind of put aside for a little bit in order for this to take place at this time. So all of those things play into it that in some respects we weren't prepared for when we started, and when the city announced this, that made us come back and spend time in prayer in consultation between us as elders as to what we were willing to do or what we didn't want to do. So all of that comes into play that kind of caught us off guard in some respects when we first started to where we are now. So,
and one thing I would say also about that is that, you know, as you mentioned in the vision statement of being a church of 350, as you can tell, we're not a church of 350 currently. And so, well, why are we planting a church then? You know, shouldn't we wait until we reach sort of capacity? And I think it was really a discussion on following the Lord's timing. And the opportunity was here. Our family was already there. And I think that ought to be an encouragement, too, that, you know, here's a church of about 150, 200 that's planting a church. I think sometimes we get real intimidated on the topic of church. We could never do that. You know, we're just a church of 100 people. Well, don't say never, because the Lord may provide in ways you don't expect. So,
you know, one thing that the host, you find there's a certain place that it needs a church there. So the church that we have founded the church there. Is it the church planting ministry? We just go and build the church building and exist, and then people just come in? Or how did you invite, mobilize the area of people to be a member, to come into the church? Is it personal evangelism? Or how did you reach out the community? There's a problem in India also in the mission board, you know, convincing people, inviting people,
The strategy is going to be kind of a macro strategy. There's going to be personal invitation that it has, who could ever fault word of mouth and in personal invitation relationships. There's going to be an online media blitz. There's going to be on the ground through advertising, neighborhood canvassing, especially in those new neighborhoods. So I always get excited about the picture that he shows. When the gentleman here drove me around for about an hour or so to kind of help me get a picture of the neighborhoods that they were targeting, and look at those streets. I mean, there's not a black mark that they've filled in a crack or anything. They're brand new streets. You drive on some of these streets, these lawns are not even sodded yet. The houses are still they're still going up on lots. I mean, and little tykes stump in every yard. I mean, it's just like, you can just see these families are just there waiting to be touched. And so this is and this is street after street after street after street. Yeah. And so this is a great opportunity. So yeah, neighborhood canvassing would be a huge opportunity. And there are going to be just those that are going to drop in. You mentioned the scenario of just you open ministry and maybe the core group comes to you. That's not my favorite way of doing things, but we ended up starting a church last fall doing this very, very thing. We attempted core group establishment in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 12 years. Never could get anything to start. We opened up services. We have a core group. So go figure, right? That's why it's the Lord's work, not Henry's, right? So, I mean, that's not the strategy that we anticipate here. We're doing a lot more groundwork in trying to truly multiply off of the Berea Bible Church. So it's kind of like any and all opportunities in trying to incorporate what we can to facilitate getting the word out and making people aware of this opportunity.
One more question, Henry. I'm not sure who to address it to, but with the startup budget and then sustainability budget.
Yeah.
Is Midwest and Berea sharing financial responsibilities?
Yes. Yeah, we are. And it started by investing in Reed and his family. I'll let Brian speak to what the church's side of it is, but honestly, it was an agreement between our two ministries that we would share 50% of the responsibility for Reed and his family to be brought to that area, because we knew that we could be in love with this idea, but until you had someone that was on the ground that could end up mobilizing the whole project, there was no way to get that done. Those have often been the places where ministries run into their roadblocks, because that money can be one of those turfs that can cause a war, and we just knew that wasn't going to happen. We knew that this the cause of what we wanted to accomplish was too important for that to even be a factor. So yes, there was some navigation on how to address those things, and we collaborated together with the leadership at the church and with MCE to do that. But we both know what we were gaining. MCE is as equally invested in the Wagners and this project as is Berea. Berea, in some ways, gets the front load of all of that because they're on the ground. They're the boots that are there, and they're eating, living, and breathing this every single day. But I've got the long range in mind because I'm not only trying to help win Springfield, I'm trying to help start a ministry in a state. And this is that investment. So whatever we're contributing to that, is advanced money in that respect. Now, with regard to the church plant itself, that's all in process now. All of the dreaming and the vision casting and everything has been taking place up to the convention. It's at this event where our mobilization is starting to take place. And now when we get back home to Springfield, at post convention, that's when the sprint run to October begins. So that we're going to be able to see some launch campaign being advanced through Midwest Church Extension. Berea will be evaluating what they will be able to identify and then budget toward that. And then that will be the seed from which the new ministry will spring. And then each step of the way will obviously be evaluation and navigation about what next to do.
So do you have some sort of facility target, like strip malls? Where are you going to start October the 1st?
That's a great question. And one we don't currently have an answer for. So there are different possibilities. We've looked at there are some vacant like storefront properties over that side of town that might be a possibility. We're trying to get in contact with them. And then there's several options. There's the Shawnee School that's not very far off that path. And, you know, churches have started schools. The movie theater I've reached out to. So we're waiting to see what the Lord provides. So that'd be something. If you nothing else, you walk out of here, you can pray that the Lord will provide for us a place to meet come fall. And we're confident, and that's one of the things this summer we're hoping to really get squared away. So, great question.
We still have a little time. So if you have other questions, we'd be glad to entertain you.
Not like this, most of it, so if you can just tell, say everything again.
No.
Did you have something?
Not a question.
Okay.
Our differences here, India, Amazon Field, and here, your subscription. By advertising or making known people through information, this book, from that we are here, facilities here, children are here, everything come over, people come.
Yes.
So the property which is there, we got made a church planting somewhere. Now the entire community, they try to dismantle and try to stop us.
Yes.
So it's really, it takes time to people to convince, to become a Christian. That is the difference here and over there. That's a half part of it. And then what happened here, over there in India, that we cannot plant church, build a building. It's a matter of scarcity of land.
Sure.
It's very expensive. At the same time, it's not available at all for church. So mostly what we planted the church is just home base.
Yes.
Yeah, home base like that. And now here, one of the mission field in Rajasthan, house cannot accommodate. Like 40, 50 people comes up now. It's a growing we are.
Okay.
We are short of space. So we raise fund and buy the land from the Muslim guy and then register it not as a church but something mission center, activity center we register. And then when we start building the fencing startup, the entire community, the Hindu, even the priest, the sadhu, everybody, RS is what the radical volunteer who destroyed the church and Christian, persecution. They all come. There's no way that this is a Hindu land, there's a, no Christian belief can exist. As such, so much strong opposition, we are being treated, if you want your children or your family to see your body, it's a time to live for you. Go home, don't come here. A lot of treatment, a lot of problem like that.
Yeah.
But since the land we own it and we registered it and we got electric connection now, if we die, we die. If they give you, commissary and Armstrong director here in the middle, you two build it. If they kill me, you build it. If they kill you, we build it. We will not stop. Anyway, we just carry on the war. And now, what happened here, it should become a kind of, a gospel beacon. That is the city where we all got beaten in 2016 when we said the gospel. There is that not even one Christian school, any institution, not allowed to exist there. That's the predominantly, the high caste Hindu Brahmins city. And in the new colony, mean for those high caste Hindu only, no Muslim, no Christian. But God gave a privilege that we can put our feet on it there. And here, now, the good thing is that when we start building a building, our field director, he has very, very sensitive mind, he is. He go to the Hindu, the RSS leaders, who own a business selling building materials. So we go to them and buy the cement and buy the iron and the material for a building. We shop it in their shop. Then those leaders now, they support. No problem, let them build. And then here the Irish people divide into two, build. And now we are almost completed the floor. 200 people can sit on the floor for 30 feet, 40 feet. That's the building. And the top three bedroom will, mission director will want to live there. That kind of, what I say is that in the process of Christian ministry, a lot of, persecution, a lot of problem we face in India. This is the talk of the town is that we got beaten him, how does he come back again? So I say, I don't come to challenge him. I just come because I know God loves you. That's what I'm coming. And that work now, it's a challenge of just trying to be really,
And that's some of the things we don't know yet, as far as what the city codes will be and what I know a number of places around America are becoming similar to that, in that they refuse to have church buildings or religious organizations in new building areas. And so some of those things we don't know yet. But we have enough space around us to where we can hopefully overcome some of those things by not having to build in a new building area and purchasing or doing something different in the city itself. So hopefully we won't have any of those problems. But I'm not saying that we won't. I'm just saying hopefully we won't.
Well, we want to thank you all for coming today. We really appreciate that. Thank you for listening to our testimony last night as well. And be thinking about Redeemer Bible Church, October 1st, this is the launch date. And then October 29th will be the Church Planting Sunday. And, of course, as you were told last night, CPC has agreed that this will be the future project for you all to unite with us in prayer and for some help with the financial start of the ministry. So be in prayer and keep your eyes open for those that bit of information. If you'd like to learn more about any of those things, be sure to talk with me and Reed and Brian, and we'd be glad to
keep you all included and informed about that along the way.
If you did not get one of these magnets last night, take one, because just it'll be a reminder to you to pray for us. And also, I failed to mention last night, but at our table, as you come right into the convention center to the left or to the right, there is a sign-up sheet there if you'd like to receive more information, place to put your email down, so we can keep you abreast of what's going on at Redeemer Bible Church. So,
all right. Thank you. Thanks for coming, y'all. Have a great day.